Let's take our Bibles and look in Proverbs chapter 16 for our scripture reading. Proverbs chapter 16. Here in the Old Testament, we have a chapter that gives us the same teaching we find throughout all of Scripture, but particularly one of our favorites in Romans 9 in the New Testament. But here would be a chapter in the Old Testament that defines God's absolute sovereignty over all things. Now, there's some that will say that in a general way, but when you stop and think of what all things includes, it includes the so-called free acts of men, whereby when they will to do something, and yet even that willing God determines ahead of time, the thoughts, intents of the heart. It includes, and this is the shock for some, but as we're going to see in our text in 1 Samuel, it includes the sinful acts of men. If God doesn't direct the sinful acts of men, and somehow that is outside of his decree and sovereignty, then we're all in trouble. And it even includes, as we know, the future acts. You stop and think about prophecies in Scripture determining hundreds of thousands of years beforehand what would be, and then the unfolding fulfilling of it. Such is the God of the Bible. It may not be men's God, as in natural-minded men, but he is the God of the Bible. And we see that here in Proverbs 16. Note, the preparations of the heart is in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You think about how often man plots what he's going to say and what he's going to do, and yet the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Notice, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Men will constantly justify themselves before God, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Here's a good scripture to give to somebody when they talk about one day standing before the Lord and all of their works, the good works outweighing the bad. Well, maybe the ways of a man are clean in their own eyes, but how many give consideration to the second part? The Lord weighs the spirits. That is what man can't see. That is the unexpressed thoughts of the heart. And we know that the scriptures say the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't even know our own. So that's why it says, commit, verse 3, thy works unto the Lord. People like to quote this. Well, just commit your way to the Lord. But notice, commit thy works unto the Lord. Whether they be evil or good, whatever we consider as works, commit those unto the Lord, knowing that he directs all things. And it says, thy thoughts shall be established. I don't know how many times today something didn't go the way you thought it should or the way you would have liked, and you stewed about it, turned it around and chewed on it and spit it out and took it back and chewed on it again. Your thoughts weren't established, but when you commit those works unto the Lord, in other words, they're his anyway, he is directing. That's where your thoughts are established. Thy will be done. Because here it says in verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself. God's not reacting. This world is not turning around us. But most people think that. that their day is being directed about how they think or how they do. Nope. The Lord hath made all things for himself, and note, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. That's one thing we're hearing a lot about today, how evil this world is. It always has been. It's no more evil now than it was back when God destroyed the world the first time in the days of Noah. It's no more evil now than all the way back when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Because everything we see as evil is coming from that fall. But it says here, the Lord has made all things, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Not just the day of judgment, but the day of that evil that suddenly we hear about in the news or watch on TV and see, and we just were aghast. How could that be? Well, if we believe the scriptures, the Lord brought it to light. How many neighbors, after a terrorist has blown up some people, the neighbors are saying, well, he just seemed like such a nice person. Well, guess what? There isn't any nice person. There's no innocent that die. We're all sinners by nature. It says, everyone that is proud in heart, see, that's the problem. The pride of heart. Where come lusts and divisions and wars and all these things, racism, the pride of the heart. It says it's an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, that's what people try to do. United Nations, we're going to stop war. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. The Lord continues to use these things that men try to stop to denounce them in their pride. It says here, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. While the world's looking for a solution to all its problems, right here in verse 6 is the gospel. How is it that men are going to get along? How is it that sinners can lay down their arms? Well, it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Mercy and truth, that's in Christ. Mercy and truth have met together in him, in his death, where his iniquity purged, in the death of Christ. And I'll tell you where a sinner will lay down his arms and be at peace with those around him and at peace with God is when God is pleased by his Spirit and grace to reveal Christ in that heart. Because mercy and truth have met together. Iniquity is purged. Everyone for whom Christ paid the debt, he's going to have. And it says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I shocked a lady today that I was talking to because she asked me, she said, how do you overcome fear in the face of death? She said, I think about it all the time. And I told her, fear is a good thing. I would rather go to my grave fearing God and his judgment and being that trembling sinner than to be one of these that has a false hope and is at peace within themselves and never gives it another thought. They're just as sure of heaven as their own name. I'm thankful that the Spirit of God doesn't leave his children in that sort of delusion. It says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, and there is talking about the Lord's good pleasure in directing a man's ways, is what that is. He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Everybody's worried today about enemies and what we're going to do. Well, if the Lord is directing our path, and he is, then he makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. And we're going to see that in our study. Saul being a reprobate and yet showed kindness to David in the beginning. Where did that come from? Well, it was the Lord keeping his hand on him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. That word righteousness means that which is just. Better is a little. And certainly as the Lord's redeemed ones, we can say that. We might not have much in this world, but better is a little. Better to be separated out from all that's going on in religion and have righteousness, God's righteousness, that Christ came and earned and established and God imputed, than great revenues without right. That's talking about false religion. All that men look for by way of reward, and yet no righteousness. A man's heart deviseth his way. Here it is again, God's sovereignty. And that's not just over his children, that's the world. But the Lord directeth his steps. The next time you're in front of somebody that's complaining about this or complaining about that, here's a scripture where you can say the Lord is directing. And leave it at that. I don't care if it's a person at death's door. What are we going to do? You know, what's their state before God? The Lord is directing. A man's heart deviseth his way. There's a lot of false remedies out there right now. Preachers willing to try to pacify sinners on the road to hell. I liken it to someone dying of cancer, having terminal cancer, and you bring some soft music to play to make them feel better. That's all it does. It doesn't rid them of the cancer. That's what false religion. Man's heart deviseth his way. Notice his way. But the Lord directeth his steps. The divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. That's a true king. And there's a picture of Christ, who's righteous in all he does. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. And all the weights of the bag are his work. That's where they used to weigh out back in the day when everything was based on gold. That was the standard. But then, you know why they put little ripples around the coins of gold? It's because people were taking the shaving off a little bit. So if they shave that, you're going to see it. That's man's way. But as far as God and his justice, his weights are just. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. Well, with regard to men, we don't see any righteous. That's the problem we have right now in leadership in the world. None righteous. But to the true king, it says the throne is established by righteousness. You think about how God saved sinners. He didn't set aside his justice. He devised that way in which he could be God and just and still justify sinners. His throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. That's a picture of how God sees his people in Christ. He loves those that speak right. What is it to speak right? It's to speak of his righteousness, that of Christ that he came and earned and worked out. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. That's why in Psalm 2 it says, "Kiss the son, lest he be angry with thee." The wrath of God abides upon sinners outside of Christ, for whom he did not pay the ransom. And that shows men's foolishness. They'll not seek the way that God has determined. Left to themselves, they're going to devise their own way, but they can never pacify a holy God. In the light of the king's countenance is life. When the scripture talks about God causing his face to shine upon you, that's with favor. That can only be in Christ. His favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And there you can put, how much better is it to get Christ? Because Christ is wisdom. Than gold. And to get understanding rather than to be chosen. Rather be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. And we carry sin with us, but departing from evil is not pursuing the path of men as a way of worship of God or of coming unto Him. The highway, notice, that's Christ of the upright. We depart from every way that does not give Him the glory. He that keepeth His way, and there is keeping God's way, Christ the way, preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's the mother of all sin right there, is pride. Christ said of the Pharisees, "You are they which justify yourselves before God." They'd rather go to their death justifying themselves than to bow to this God that we find here in Scripture, His Son. Better it is to be an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The Lord's going to test us here. Isolate us out, separate us out. Walk this path alone. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly. That's those He's made low, bowed at His feet, then divide the spoil with the proud. There's a lot of pride in men's confession of testimonies today. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. How do we handle a matter wisely? Well, we look to the Lord, to His Word, be taught by His Spirit. Seek wisdom. That's what the Scriptures say. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally. Problem is, men aren't asking for wisdom. They've already made up their mind what they want. But he that handleth the matter wisely, that's only by the Spirit of grace, shall find good. Remember, good in Scripture is the word God. They'll find the answer in God, in His purpose, in His will. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Be utterly cast on the Lord is what it is to trust in the Lord. The wise in heart, that's those converted by the Spirit of grace, shall be called prudent. Because it's the Spirit of grace that directs their thoughts and hearts. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Oh, to be ones that speak of the grace of God, the sweetness of the lips, edifying one another rather than tearing one another down. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Notice a wellspring. That's what comes up from underneath the ground and is hidden, but it bursts forth. It's not of man. But the instruction of fools is folly. You say, what's the instruction of fools? Anything that is contrary to what's in this word right here. This is our authority right here, this word. There's a lot of foolish preaching. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. The heart of the wise. Made wise, Christ is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Notice the tense there. Always adds learning. If anybody thinks they know as they ought to know, they don't know as they ought to know. Knowledge puffs up. We're continually learning, adding learning to his lips. We're disciples. We never graduate from the school of Christ. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. That's not flattery. Pleasant words are those that glorify Christ. Sweet to the soul. Health to the bones. I'm so thankful that there are so many of you that when I finish preaching, you encourage me just to, it's like a lady in a congregation a number of years ago, she's passed on, but every time I finish preaching, she would come up and she would say to me, I love that middle C, preach Christ, preach Christ. That's what it is. There is a way. See, we saw the way of righteousness, which is Christ, but there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And we know what that is, because there was a time where we walked in a way that seemed right unto us, a way of works, of will worship, but the end thereof are, notice, the ways of death. Not just the way of death, not just death, but the ways of death. It leads into such a maze that unless the Lord reaches down and delivers such a one, they'll never find their way out. He that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. You got in your mind that somehow you're going to work, labor, in such a way as to please God, it's only for yourself. It's not pleasing God. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. If we've heard that expression, if their lips are moving, they're lying, that's ungodly men. That's religious men. The more they talk, the more they dig up evil, because out of the heart the mouth speaks. They can't honor and glorify Christ. You say, why? They got the same Bible, why aren't they doing it? Well, they're blind. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. This is just describing who we all are by nature, but for the grace of God. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. That's our nature. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Paul wrote there in Romans 3 that the mouth is an open sepulcher of venom. The hoary head is a crown of glory. That's talking about the gray hair. But notice, if it be found in the way of righteousness. The way of righteousness is that way of God whereby he declares sinners righteous. And one in that righteousness, the older they get, the grayer the hair, the greater the blessing. It just means they're one day closer to their redemption. We all are. If it be found in the way of righteousness, but it is of no value unless it be in Christ. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Something, think about what it is to be slow of anger. If our way is truly committed unto the Lord, what reason is there to be angry? Unless it be the pride of our own flesh. And he that ruleth his spirit, then he that taketh a city. That's that bowing and resting. You know, men will look at it and think, well, you're just being fatalistic. No, I'm resting. He that ruleth his spirit, then he that taketh the city. And then the sum here is, the lot is cast into the lap. But that's not a crapshoot. Notice, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. I'm thankful it's that way, aren't you? Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. I must confess that it is well beyond my own experience, the things that I read, because I know the thoughts of my own heart and the struggles of day-to-day living when in my mind and heart I'm directing my path, so I think. But I'm thankful that you don't leave us to go down that way, but whatever the thought is, the direction our own mind and heart, the disposing is of you. We can look back even today, or over this week, or over the last year or years, and know that this path you have traced, and you've done it to your glory. And you're truly to be praised, particularly if that path, as it has led us to meet as we are right now. The world looks on us as few in number. Many would drive by and wonder whether or not there's even a congregation here. They like to count heads. They like to count cars in the parking lot. But, Lord, better to be alone with little and have righteousness than to be found where the world is pursuing great reward, following after men, and yet not have Christ. So I pray that you'd be pleased to meet with us. Don't leave us to ourselves. I pray that direct our hearts and minds to your blessed Son, in whose name I pray. Amen.